During the month of December, as I mentioned last week, we are settling on one verse. A verse that is in a prophecy of Isaiah in the Old Testament, where the prophet is telling God's people in a time of deep darkness and utter distress that on them a light will dawn. For them a child will be born, to them a son will be given. And while scholars believe that Isaiah's prophecy found its original fulfillment in one of the kings of Judah, most likely Hezekiah, we also look to this verse as a description of Jesus himself. And so, as with all announced births, the question becomes, well, what are you gonna name the baby? That's what we're going to think about today and over the next two Sundays. Please pray with me. Lord, it is good news when we learn that a child is to be born or a son to be given. And parents then spend the next months wrestling over what the name of the child will be. You have given us some names here, Lord, and we want to understand what those names mean for us. And so as we reflect on Wonderful Counselor, open our hearts to see the areas where we need Wonderful Counsel. And give us the willingness to seek out our Wonderful Counselor and listen to his guidance. Come now, Spirit of God, open our eyes that we might hear your word and know Jesus as our Wonderful Counselor today and always. For it is in his name that we pray. I invite you to join me now as we read this short text from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. We will start in a setting of gloom that is beginning to break. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in darkness. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and on those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, the government will be on his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Are you a royal watcher? I hate to admit it, but I am. When I'm standing in the line at the grocery store or sitting in the waiting room of the doctor's office, I always check the magazines to see if there's some pictures of Kate and Will and those two beautiful babies with the third on the way. I don't know what it is. I just really like seeing them and learning about them. But did you know that Prince William is not just Prince Will. He holds a whole list of titles. His Royal Highness, Prince William of Wales. His Royal Highness, the Duke of Cambridge. His Royal Highness, the Earl of Strathern. The Baron Carrickfergus. That's got to be Scottish or something. The Royal Knight Companion of the Most Noble Order of the Garter. A knight of the most ancient and most noble order of the thistle. That's Scotland for sure. A member of the Privy Council of the United Kingdom and a personal aide-de-camp to the Queen. That's just the way it is when you're a royal. And not just today, but also in the ancient Near East. Ancient rulers not only had personal names, but they were also given titular names, titles that reflected their qualities, their accomplishments, their responsibilities. They were given these names either at birth or when they ascended to the throne. And scholars think that this series of names are throne names. For example, one Ugaritic king named Nicmeba, that was his personal name, was given these titles: the Lord of Justice, the Master of the Royal House, the King who protects, and the King who builds. That's what Isaiah is doing. He is assigning divine titles to this king who was to come. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Since the first centuries of the Christian church, Christians have embraced these titles to describe Jesus as the final fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. So let's try now to better understand who this child to be born is, who this son to be given is for us today in our daily lives. Jesus, Isaiah is prophesying, is our Wonderful Counselor. Now think about it. When you think of who Jesus is to you in your daily life and how you relate to him, do we consider him a Wonderful Counselor? Have we experienced him as our Wonderful Counselor? Scholars tell us that the Hebrew words used here, pele yoshe, refer to one who is all wise in his plans and his purposes. One who is amazing, astonishing, wonderful in the counsel and guidance that he gives. It's interesting when you read the entire prophecy of Isaiah that Isaiah uses these two words together two additional times, wonderful and counselor, and both times they refer to the Lord, to Yahweh, Israel's God. For example, in Isaiah 25, Isaiah writes, O Lord, O Yahweh, you have done wonderful things, even given us counsels of old. Wonderful counsels. And then again in Isaiah 28, 29, Isaiah describes the wonderful wisdom and timing of God's counsel. And he concludes that description by saying this: all this comes from the Lord, who is wonderful in counsel. So now let's think about this title. as it is applied to Jesus. Now, I want you to kind of think in your mind, imagine in your mind Jesus in the Gospels as he went about his ministry. And if you think about it, he was counseling people all day long and into the night, teaching them, guiding them, comforting them, healing them, speaking truth to them, confronting them with God's truth and with divine insight. His family, his disciples, the crowds, his enemies even, were the recipients of his counsel. And what was the consistent response? It's interesting, if you look through the Gospels and you take a concordance and look up the word amazed or astonished, you're going to find that people were constantly amazed at Jesus' counsel. They were astonished because it was so right on. It was so pertinent. It was so compassionate. It was so truthful. And so as we read through the Gospels, we discover that Jesus was indeed, for the people of his day, a wonderful counselor. Now that was clear when Jesus was on earth, but how do we then, 2,000 years later, come to know Jesus as our wonderful counselor? How do we experience his giving us counsel, advice, guidance, direction, wisdom? Well, I want us to think about that a minute, and I'm just going to share with you the ways that Jesus has been my counselor, and God knows I need it. First, we experience Jesus as our wonderful counselor through the Scriptures. Let me find my little book. I use a little devotional called Seeking God's Face. And every day, it doesn't have any human commentary at all. Every day, you have a psalm, and during a year, you will read through the entire Psalter two times, 150 psalms, two times. And then it has scriptures that go through the entire story of the Old and New Testament, brief, 10 lines, 15 lines. And every day, Jesus counsels me through the words of Scripture. And interestingly, I just love when God does that. This morning, listen to the words that I read from Psalm 25. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his way. That's good news. He guides the humble in what is right, and he teaches them his way. That is, he is our wonderful counselor. And then the other reading was from Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 11. And listen, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. We believe that shoot is Jesus. And from his branches, from his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. The Scriptures, when we regularly, daily put ourselves in them, will become for us one of the means through which Jesus will guide us in our path. And that's important because sometimes we're in situations out in the community or in a situation where we don't have our Bible right with us, right? And we have a time where we need counsel right then and right there. And if we have soaked our hearts and minds in the Scripture day by day and listened to their words, then God's Spirit can take that word and speak it into your life and into my life wherever we are. Back in the 1980s, when we were in Hendersonville, I was a new mom, had David, never slept. David never slept at all. And so I was exhausted all the time. And my father was going through prostate cancer, and I couldn't get down to see him because of our schedule and different things. And my best friend, who will remain nameless, my best friend had a new baby. And the first night she brought the baby home, the baby slept 10 hours. Like, really? And her father had prostate cancer, and her parents would pay for her to fly home once a month to see her dad. Well, I hate to tell you, but I was not happy about the situation. And so one Sunday morning, I was sitting in a pew about where Julie is, and on the row in front of me, about where Diane was, my friend was sitting. And this is what was going through my head. Why? Why does she have this easy baby who sleeps all the time? And why do her parents pay for her to go to Alabama and on and on? I was not happy. And all of a sudden, as clear as a bell, the Spirit said to me from John 21, where Peter has just been told that his life is going to lead to martyrdom. And then Jesus has told John, you're going to get off easy. And Peter turns to Jesus and said, well, you know, what about him? Why is he getting off easy? And Jesus says to Peter, what is that to you? That kind of shut me up. Like, forget your friend. You just follow me. So when we have soaked ourselves in the Scripture, then God can take those words and speak them to us in living and powerful and pertinent ways. But we also experience Jesus as our wonderful counselor, not only through the Word, either read or spoken into our hearts, but through other believers. That's the wonderful thing about the body of Christ. And those other Christians can be ancient Christians, Christians that have written devotionals or Christian literature. They can be through a sermon or a friend who knows me and speaks into my situation. I used to read a devotional called God Calling. It's a classic devotional, and it's just the writings of two women who met with God every day, and God would speak to them and give them messages that they would write down. And so back in probably 1995, I was at our church in Pennsylvania. This was before I was called to seminary. And I had wanted a job that was available in our church. Wanted it really bad. And so I got this friend. We were going to split the job half and half. And I was so excited. And the session decided, nope, not going to happen. I was devastated. I was a Christian educator. It was something I would have loved doing. And I was really, really, really like a mess. I was so upset about it. So on November 28th, I read these words in God Calling. The joy of meeting me should more and more fill your lives. Your lives must first of all be narrowed down. Ouch, I didn't want my life narrowed down. Your lives must first of all be narrowed down more and more into an inner circle life with me. And as that friendship becomes more and more engrossing, more and more binding, then gradually the circle of your interest will widen. I have to begin our friendship by cutting away the ties that bind you to the outer circle. And when you have gained strength and learned your lesson, it will then widen again. It was only a few months later that I received my call to go to seminary, and my life and my ministry widened again. But God spoke to me through a writing that was 100, 150 years old by faithful Christians. God can also speak to us through sermons, through a pastoral visit. Sometimes people come to me just as I used to go to my pastor, and we talk and we listen, and maybe clarity comes or direction comes or peace comes. That's the function of our Stephen ministers, to give God's wisdom, to ask questions, to listen. We have this little sheet about Stephen ministry out in the narthex, and I want to read what one man wrote about how a Stephen minister, as a fellow believer, became a vehicle for Jesus to be his wonderful counselor. Soon after meeting my Stephen minister, he writes, I quickly sensed that I could trust him. Part of that trust came from knowing that he was trained to help people through their problems. He made me feel comfortable by not prying for information, but instead letting me share what was on my mind. Any questions he did ask fit our conversation appropriately. And probably the best thing he did for me was not judging me for my past decisions. Rather, he was there to help me move forward. I think another significant trust-building factor was being able to talk to someone who was not in my regular circle of friends. My friends certainly continued to have an important place in my life, but I also needed someone who could see my situation objectively. That helped make it easier for me to share deeply personal parts of my life. See, this man has now found a Christian friend who has become a sort of informal counselor to him, bringing God's love and God's compassion and God's wisdom to bear in his life. We experience Jesus as wonderful counselor through the scriptures. And we experience Jesus as wonderful counselor through one another, even to the degree that we can seek out professional counseling. And I am not ashamed to say that I have been the beneficiary and continue to be the beneficiary of wonderful, trained, professional Christian counselors. When I was at Princeton my sophomore year, I was taking my Old Testament class, and I had to write my first paper, my exegetical paper, and I was just so nervous about it, and I did all the study, and I wrote the paper up, and I went to class, and I put it on Dr. Miller's desk, and after class, I went home. Y'all are finding what a basket case I am. I went back to my home, my apartment, and I ran down and grabbed Rosemary, my best friend, and I just saw, Rosemary, that paper's a disaster. I'm so ashamed. Dr. Miller is going to think I'm totally ignorant. I just was a wreck. And so I was working with a counselor at the time, and we began to explore why was that upsetting. I got the paper back, and it was an A+. So what? And I'm not saying that to brag. I'm just showing the difference between my perception and the reality. And so we began to explore what was going on. And she led me to really begin to see that Dr. Miller, in my mind, was my father. And I didn't ever measure up. And so I was so afraid of disappointing him. And that knowledge, that understanding, released me from a sense of self-condemnation, a sense of shame. Through the wisdom of that trained counselor, Jesus brought a healing word and healing wisdom into my life. There are other times, though, when it's not the scripture, when it's not another person, when it's not a trained counselor, it's just God's Spirit within us. My last story, 1996, I was teaching a Sunday school class called Experiencing God. I did it here when I was here before. And we were taking 9 months to go through this material that was about discerning God's will for your life. And so every week I would prepare the lesson, and I would pray, and I would study, and I would share with the people how God moves in our lives. And about February, I just began to sense this sweatshirt that I was wearing. It wasn't a real sweatshirt. It was just an imaginary sweatshirt. Now you're really going to think I'm crazy. And across the front of the sweatshirt, it said Princeton. I was like, what on earth is going on? I had told my pastor I will never go to Princeton Seminary because I thought they were all a bunch of flaming liberals. So I went to talk to my pastor, and he said, Indy, I can't believe it's taken you so long to figure this out. And so God was speaking to me. The Spirit was speaking to me. And I know, because some of you have shared stories with me, that the Spirit has spoken to you. A thought that won't go away. Or an animal that you see at a certain time and God says something to you that is pertinent to your life. So if Jesus is our wonderful counselor, the question is, do we avail ourselves of his counsel? Will we commit to being in his word every day so that we can walk with him and he can talk with us as we go through our lives? Will we be in fellowship with other Christians and close enough fellowship that they know what's going on with us? What we're feeling, what we're struggling with, and they can speak God's encouraging word to us. Will we be willing to seek out a Stephen minister to have that support and that companionship and that listening ear? Or even to come to the church and get an appointment with a Samaritan counselor who can help us as we go through really struggles that need trained help. He is our counselor. Will we let him be that for us? In 1846, a Scottish pastor named Horatio Bonar wrote many hymns, and most of them, or a lot of them, were for children. And one of those old hymns written by Horatio Bonar for the children in his church is called I Heard the Voice of Jesus Say. So I'm going to sing it to you now, and I have added an extra verse about Jesus as our wonderful counselor. down, you weary one. Lay down your head upon my chest. I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. I heard the voice of Jesus say, behold, I freely give. The living water, thirsty one, stoop down and drink and live. I came to Jesus and I drank of that life-giving stream. My thirst was quenched, my soul revived, and now I live in him. I heard the voice of Jesus say, I am this dark world's light. Look unto me, your morn shall rise, and all your day be bright. I look to Jesus and I found in him my star, my sun. And in that light of light, I'll walk till traveling days are done. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me, my friend. I'll counsel, guide, and teach you how your confused heart to mend. I came to Jesus and I found my wonderful counselor. His word, his spirit lead me still and will forevermore.
Please stand now and join us as we sing of the joy that Christ brings us, Joy to the World, hymn number 146 in your hymnal. Please be seated. I've always loved that verse, "No more let sins and sorrows grow, nor thorns infest the ground."